Good morning, students. We continue to deliver our lecture on the very interesting topic, TPM, Total Productive Maintenance. Myself, Dr. Mehta, continue to deliver my audio sessions, especially for the benefits of MBA students, MCom students, and other PG-UG program students, professional courses students, who wish to understand the concept of total productive maintenance. Now, as we all know that in my classes earlier, I have been reminding you time and again that companies nowadays are talking too much about the word zero, Z-E-R-O, zero. Companies wish to ensure zero accidents, zero breakdowns, zero defects, and zero losses. And here comes the TPM, enabling companies to restructure, redefine their overall corporate culture through improvement of their plants, equipments, etc. In fact, total productive maintenance is the combination of American system of preventive maintenance plus Japanese concept of total quality control, TQC, and ensuring the total employee involvement, TEI, and the net outcome becomes a very innovative system or a mixture known as total productive maintenance. Of course, we have to understand and admit honestly that in modern manufacturing and advanced manufacturing concepts, there is no place for breakdown of any type. So our maintenance management departments are always under high time pressure, and that is why they want a very high utilization factor for acceptable cost benefit ratios, enabling them companies to go for always total productive maintenance practices. As we understand, try to understand the its evolution of the concept, it was innovative Japanese concept, and the origin of TPM can be traced back as early as to 1951, when it was introduced in early days in Japan. But interestingly, the concept of total preventive maintenance was taken from United States of America, and according to historical evidences, Nippon Denso, NIPPONDENSO, Nippon Denso was the first company to introduce plant-wide preventive maintenance in 1960, wherein the operators producing goods using machines and maintenance were so dedicated with work of maintaining those machines. With growth of automation in Nippon Denso, maintenance became also a problem, and more maintenance personnel were required. And therein, the autonomous maintenance concept also came, which became ultimately the very interesting feature of the TPM. So, as to ensure that company had to go for autonomous maintenance as well. And the aim of the total exercise was to maximize plant and equipment effectiveness. So all employees also became too involved, and they took very, very, very seriously, they participated in the implementing productive maintenance practices. So based on these developments happened in Nippon Denso, the concept was approved and accepted by the corporate world, and the Japanese Institute of Plant Engineers, JIP, popularly known as, also distinguished, and in fact they also awarded Nippon Denso for such kind of innovative thing. But Nippon Denso of the Toyota Group became the first company to obtain the that time TPM certification. So dear students, as we understand the concept of this TPM, total productive maintenance, no doubt it is a complete system for maintaining all types of equipments and trying to achieve an optimal production devoid of defects, devoid of defects, D-E-V-O-I-D, devoid of defects, devoid of downtime, stoppages, and all kinds of accidents. Of course, it empowers the shop floor. We understand very clearly that it is going to empower the shop floor to work in a concerted manner to ensure that machines are functioning at their optimal best or giving their optimal best performance in the given time. So practicing TPM requires certain kinds of conceptual support, and that is why the concept of 5S, it is also known as in some textbooks or in some references, you may find it TPM 5S Foundation. Though it is considered the very, very, very bold initiative for the conceptual understanding, we must understand that how these 5S consist of. Number one term is sorting. Sorting all categories of items in the workplace and removing the unnecessary items. Number two, setting in order. Number two S denotes setting in order everything that is in organized systematic manner, like finding raw materials. Third is shining or cleaning. It is a way of making any abnormalities visible so as to ensure that quality of the final or finished product is of really high standard. Because clean and organized workplace really has its own positive effect, including on workers' morale and productivity. Fourth S is standardization, ensuring the improvements. And fifth, last S, sustaining the improvements through audit processes which are scheduled in a way of stabilizing the system. So these are very important 5 S I wanted to share with you, my dear students, about the TPM Foundation. But what is more important, that there are 8 important TPM pillars which every student must know for their conceptual clarity, that organization has to implement TPM at the best possible manner. So these all 8 pillars are going to definitely affect their establishing reliability of machines. So first pillar is known as autonomous maintenance. They also call it Jishu Hojan, J-I-S-H-U-H-O-J-D-N, Jishu Hojan. This kind of autonomous maintenance is going to place that whole responsibility of basic maintenance on the hands of operators and leaving the maintenance staff with more time to attend to more complex maintenance activities which are carried out by shop floor workers, including basic cleaning of machines, lubricating, oiling, tightening of nuts and bolts, inspection, diagnosis of potential problems and related problems, and other allied actions which may increase the productive life of the concerned machines or equipment. Then number two very important pillar is planned maintenance. TPM pillar number two, planned maintenance. Planned maintenance is the scheduling of maintenance activities based on observed behavior of machines, like understanding their failure rates, machine breakdowns. So by way of ensuring scheduling these activities around such metrics, the cycle of breakdowns and the failure may be broken, and we can contribute to a longer service life of machines by way of looking at the planned maintenance, because there is always a specific time for maintaining equipment. So of course, my dear students, when I was teaching you maintenance management, I have discussed with you different types of maintenance management. So it is pillar number two, planned maintenance. But this is the almost in contrast to what I taught you as the reactive maintenance, where we wait for the problems to arise, which may have a negative effect. But here the case is reverse. So definitely there are some benefits also of planned maintenance approach, because by constantly scheduling maintenance activities, number of breakdowns can be decreased, production functions can continue uninterrupted, because we know exactly at what type maintenance will take place And maintenance is also done when the production floor is not very busy or some schedules are already available, some blocks are available, then we can take maintenance. Capital investment is machinery is also reduced because equipment is utilized to its fullest possible potential capacity. And expensive machines parts do not have to be kept in inventory because there are chances that we may have a companies can have better control of various categories of parts. Pillar number 3, very important to you, quality maintenance. This is very important because it is going to affect the quality aspects, because the quality maintenance pillar is basically ensuring in the workforce the habit of finding the root cause of problems instead of rushing to solve or going to search 11th hour solutions that are not permanent. So this is done through tools like 5 W's, 5 Y's root cause analysis, 5 Y's root cause analysis, W-H-Y, Y's root cause analysis, and Ishikawa, I-S-H-A-K-A-W-A, Ishikawa diagrams, which are structured ways of getting to the real exact reasons why problem is occurring. So quality maintenance also have certain advantage that targeted improvement plans can be taken up, defects are surely minimized, or almost sometime in most of the cases defects are completely eliminated to the best possible extent. Cost of poor quality may be reduced by getting quality right, at setting quality right quality at right time, at first time itself. And errors are caught before they move down further to the last value stream. So reducing the amount of reworking on the items which needs later on furthermore correction. Pillar number 4 is called focused improvement, F-O-C-U-S-E-D, focused improvement. They call in Japanese language Kobetsu Kaizen, K-O-B-E-T-S-U Kaizen, K-A-I-Z-E-N, Kobetsu Kaizen. So here, for your better understanding, I must explain you, it's kind of a cross-functional teams are to be assembled with the main working in problematic equipment area and come up with the specific improvement suggestions. So cross-functional team will always have a large and varied number of employees involving from different stream. So they have varied and different experience and varied viewpoints on the table. And these teams are in better position to come up with best solution to the concerned issues arise concerning important machines. So Kaizen practice projects for maintenance also sometimes serve as a training sessions on the total productive maintenance. So a focused improvement ensures that maintenance has been identified and the maintenance teams are also trained, and during this kind of participants are able to map out the exact present state of affairs. So it is therefore very advantageous. It has got its own quick gains immediately, and workers who may not have brought, single worker may not have the full knowledge, so they can share in cross-functional team. So it is also able to have in assisting in building up a large strong base of employees which are quite well conversant with the right tools for solving problems of and getting the root cause of the problems. That is, students, as I discussed with you, the pillar 5, fifth pillar of the TPM, known as early equipment maintenance. Now, this pillar is very interesting because working with a myriad of stakeholders, including suppliers, then your vendors, companies is always able to hit the ground running with certain reliable or highly productive machines. So in that case, using the input right from the people who use these machines on a daily basis, regular basis, suppliers of equipments can also improve the maintainability and also ensuring operability in the next iteration of their products. So while designing and especially designing new equipments, some factors need to be considered, like ease of cleaning, ease and usage and mode of lubrication, ease of accessibility of equipment parts, ease of proper timely inspection, making it quite convenient for changing over the simplification procedures, and also ensuring a proper timely feedback mechanism that can prevent accidents and increasing safety features in the existing system. So these are the certain factors which we need to consider while discussing the early equipment maintenance, are known as EEM. In some books, they only denote it as EEM. So it is very important pillar. Sixth pillar is very well versed education and training. So you need to always fill up the knowledge gaps which always exist in every organization, especially in case of TPM, because sometime lack of knowledge can affect tooling, it can affect proper implementation and leading to average results or even leading to failures, industrial failures or hazards or accidents. So dear students, education and training is must. So employees need to be trained at right time with a reliable pool of knowledge and reliable staff which can always drive the knowledge and impart to their junior counterparts. And it is a very worldwide initiative, and employee cadres need to be included. All levels of employee cadres need to be included in that, right from operator level, foreman level, to the senior managers who are going to get involved in the overall TPM training projects. So skill levels of the employees need to be raised, where they are able to carry out basic maintenance activities and also preserve the maintenance staff same time. So TPM skills cannot be ignored, and everybody needs to become competent to get proper coaching and also help in their performance upgradation. Seventh pillar is health, safety and environment. Dear students, the workers need to perform to the best, but when they are functioning in a safe environment where their health risks are not ignored. So that is why it is the very important pillar where the workers feel that their attitude towards work changes dramatically, because ultimately better health facilities would improve their productivity, because if there is no injury, no fatalities, if these are reduced or minimized, then they will definitely make a concerted effort to make the workplace accident free zone. So again, the cross functional team will always work in making these machines usage safe by operators putting their place, and of course machine guards, bodyguards, leg guards, fencing of workstations, work standards followed, use of personal protective equipment, PPE, nowadays a very common word, we always say masks, and corona glass, anti-corona PPE cover. So first aid kits, all need to be supported at the work area. So these are the certain measures which can always aim at ensuring the safety of the machines and also to workers for a better productive workforce. Last but not the least pillar, number 8 of TPM, is TPM in office functions. Because office function is very key function and last very, very logical step also. Because, whole organization has to work only from this. So spreading initiative into office function will definitely remove the silo mentality and encourage horizontal cooperation among the workforce. So this TPM pillar has to be also applied, so they do not, office function also feel that they are also getting very easy to provide efficient services to the main value creating process points. So each TPM pillar has got its own standalone component, but the objective is always that we can get the full benefit of a complete system with a greater scheme of things, and it can be also applied. So we can review that each pillar has got advantage in its own category, where right from the operators feeling responsible to their machines, equipments becoming more reliable, to the last TPM, the office, because it is support functions, also understand the benefit of these kind of improvements. But my dear student, there is one more term which is always used in the TPM, the OEE. OEE, you will be referring to some textbooks after my audio session. So you can ask a question, sir, what do you mean by OEE or OEE? Overall Equipment Effectiveness. It is a supportive metric that always measures how a process is productive against its expected productivity of that particular process. And it is one of the strong, very strong, important component of the TPM program. It has to be ensured at continuously with regular intervals. So it has got three important metrics that need to be tied well while implementing the overall objectives of a TPM programs. Because these three will affect the overall equipment effectiveness of the organization also. So first is availability. Measuring a percentage of time that a piece of equipment is available for productive work. Number two is performance. Measuring how well a process performed against the set targets and exposes. Third is quality. Quality is a measurement of the percentage of good parts that come out of a process. So OEE is a very important metric with the objectives of overall TPM program. So collection of OEE data is considered a very integral and important part of the TPM program. And the tracking of OEE is also important because you are going to tell whether the TPM program is working as targeted or it is going to have a very large effect on the overall improvement activities. So it could be shorter cycles, it could be shorter time cycles, it could be mediocre time cycles, but always better to employ automatic data collection mechanism so that the losses of productions are avoided. Because sometimes if this metrics is not properly applied, then it can also lead to losses. Now, my dear students, in conceptual application of steps in TPM development program, sometimes in your organizations where you have to face interviews, you can be asked which are the important steps in TPM development programs. So as a faculty, I must provide you basic knowledge about these stages can be divided into three categories. Preparation stage, then number two stage, also known as kickoff stage, and third is implementation stage. So step one under the preparation category, declaration by top management that we are going to introduce TPM. That you have to declare in-house meetings through your company bulletins, news bulletins. Then introductory education and campaigning for TPM processes. Again, go to the managers, consult them, attend them in seminar camps or wherever they are working. General employee seminar meetings or through your weekly meetings or some late office hours talks can be conducted. Then organizing TPM promotion office, special subcommittees or a special secretariat can be set up where they can undertake preparation. Then step four, setting basic policy and targeting for TPM, benchmarking, and then going for some target prediction teams. Then creation of master plan for implementing TPM from preparations for implementation to all kinds of application. Now under the kickoff stage, never ignore TPM kickoff. You have to invite your suppliers, your company suppliers, your vendors, your corporation and affiliated companies who are going to be a key part of your team. Seventh is establishing systems of improvement production efficiency so they can pursue maximum efficiency of production. Then the term I already referred with you, Kobetsu Kaizen, K-O-B-E-T-S-U, Kobetsu Kaizen. So you need to have project teams, project team activities comprising of small group activities, can conduct some short notice workshops or short notice extempers where they can be conveyed the message. Then the another important stage under the kickoff category is Jishu Hojen, J-I-S-U-Q, Jishu Hojen, step by step, proper, very, very in-depth diagnosis, and then you are giving certification to the concerned people. Implementation stage requires the very important part of the plant maintenance, corrective maintenance time. You have to see that how your maintenance activities are undertaken. And then, of course, education and training for maintenance and skill upgradation, including the leaders and upgrading training and providing skill and education to circle members or concerned members. Then initial control system for new products and equipments. Then establish the Hinshitsu Hosen system, Hinshitsu, Hinshitsu Hosen system, where the Hinshitsu Hosen is going to ensure that you are going to set proper conditions to eliminate out defective products or defective goods, and do have establishment of maintaining effective control. Then establish the system to realize operational efficiency in the administration in departments. And then safety, hygiene and ensuring proper work environment systems or work environment protection system. Again, where I started my lecture, you can go for zero pollution, zero accident, you know, zero defects kind of things. And finally, steady application will ensure total application of TPM, and you have to raise it to the desired level. So you may award, you can invite TPM award applications, or you can set out further higher targets for your concerned staff members. But sometime, dear students, there can be certain losses which always occur, because that can impede the OEE. That can impede OEE. I told you what is impedement of OEE: overall equipment effectiveness. So there can be as many as 16 types of losses. The first loss is the failure losses or breakdown losses due to failures of the reduction failures or function of equipments, or they are not operating up to their desired level or below normal level. Setup and adjustment losses, stoppage losses, changeover losses could be there. Cutting blade change losses, you know, cutting blade change losses by changing cutting blade due to breakage or caused by changing the cutting blade, or service life of a grinding stone is affecting, or cutter has been already damaged, cutter is not working properly, so cutting blade change losses. Startup losses, you know, sometimes startup is not taking place, running in a production process is not favorable, so it may affect your startup losses. Minor stoppages and idling losses, you know, equipment is operating normally, but sometime removal of work or due to the resetting of machines, minor stoppages and idling, IDLING, losses may occur. Speed losses, operating speed is very high, or the design speed of equipment is very fast, in that case speed losses. Then defect and rework losses, REWRK, defect and rework losses due to defects and reworking of the certain equipment or machines. Then sometimes we have got losses due to the impede equipment loading time. So eighth loss is called as shutdown losses. It is known as HASTE losses, arising from the plant equipment stoppage, and periodic inspection and statutory inspection is also required. Then we have got another category which impede worker efficiency. Ninth is management losses. You know, waiting for raw materials, waiting for the raw material, waiting for a crane, waiting for a jeep crane, waiting for a machine, waiting for a trolley. Waiting for a wheelchair, waiting for tools, waiting for instruction times, waiting for the repairing of certain breakdowns already occurred, it will come under the management losses. Then got the motion losses. 10th is motion. You know, man hours are also lost while waiting for multiple processes. So that could be calling you motion losses. Then line organizational losses also take place, because waiting for multiple processes at same time is going to cause idle time, IDLE, idle time. That will be coming as a line organizational losses. Then the energy losses also take place, very important category, because ineffective utilization also is there. Input energy, electric, gas, your oil or fuel is in processing. So ineffective utilization of these basic energy resources is not done, it could lead to energy losses. Then another loss is die, zig, and tool losses. So it can also affect your financial losses, or if the repairing of such kind of items can also because their age is over, there is salvage values there, they are now working beyond their service lives, or in that case you may have to need their rewinding, regrinding, whatsoever, you know, repairing. So and the 15th loss is yield losses, YIELD, yield losses. Yield losses means material losses due to the differences in weight of the materials, input of the materials, or the quality products are not available. Then we also have another loss is called as measurement and adjustment losses. Because of frequent measurement, frequent adjustments in occurrence or outflow of quality defects going on, so that would affect your measurement and adjustment losses same time. Then you got the distribution losses already covered you. So there are as many as 16 types of losses. So these are the very important things you must understand. So TPM is not limited to dealing with breakdowns. It is also dealing with the not breakdowns, but it is also affecting availability. In fact, it is raising the level of total equipment. So sometimes OEE is equal to OEE, overall equipment effectiveness, is also expressed in formula. OEE is equal to availability into performance rate into quality rate. I again repeat, OEE is equal to availability into performance rate into quality rate. So dear students, the three important keywords are always going to affect the structure of the TPM. So TPM has shown a new path to the world of management by ceaselessly working towards the ideal goals of zero breakdown and zero defects or zero defectives. So breakdown can occur in many ways. I already covered you. So the overall rationale behind is that to ensure that all types of breakdowns are eliminated. So when I, as I conclude my session, audio session, I would again like to remind you and give you a caution point that I already discussed with you in my earlier sessions, that we already discussed the maintenance management, wherein I have covered almost all types of maintenance types, classification. So the crux of TPM is very simple. The manpower who are engaged in the production activities have to share the efforts of preventive maintenance. And when the equipment is down, together we work on equipment and process improvements in team activities. So the goal, ultimate goal of TPM is to change corporate culture to maximize overall effectiveness, and sound system is established to prevent all types of losses. And that is why TPQM is also sometimes called, it is given to another word, and sometimes it can further lead to TPQM, total planned quality maintenance. It also implies reliability centered techniques to define life cycle maintenance jobs. So TPQM is also defined as a comprehensive program which has up-to-date technology and designed to maximize equipment reliability, and also same time ensuring plant availability with minimizing maintenance cost and resources. So TPQM is something more advanced in nature because it is programmatic and also technical concern of maintenance department. But ultimately, the designing is done to facilitate the overall integration of maintenance into the quality process. So dear students, with this I conclude my this audio session. I hope that this was very informative and it must have benefited a lot to you in understanding the concept of TPM. You can drop your queries or questions to me by way of your emails, or also you got my contact number. You are most welcome. Bye bye from Dr. Dharmendra Mehta.